Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Sorry for the late start tonight. Another busy day as I continue moving around in a semi more permanent location now. I'll be here for the next month or two, so I'll get the full setup going here and get back to more of a normal cadence, hopefully. But thanks for participating in that over the last couple of weeks. But into the news today, we've got updates on Tesla in Texas. We've got a lot of new data out of China, some updates on Europe as well. But we'll start off with the stock. Tesla today down about 0.75%. Closing at $118.85 on the day, with the Nasdaq up 1.1 or 1.01% on the day as well. So, contrasting to yesterday, not quite the nice overperformance that we had seen, but Tesla hanging in there a little bit. In terms of the updates in the macro, we did have the comments from Jerome Powell this morning. Probably nothing too noteworthy in that regard. We'll move our macro attention now to CPI next week. Getting into the Tesla news, start off here with an update on Tesla at Giga Texas. Tesla out of here reporting that Tesla has filed for a $716 million expansion at Giga Texas. This is coming from the Austin Business Review, which first spotted these updates. As of January 9th, Tesla has filed four new project construction notices in Texas for a cell one, a drive unit, a cathode, and a cell test lab. There at Giga Texas. So the projects are going to, they say, provide 1.4 million additional square feet on site at Giga Texas. That may be a little bit redundant in terms of how those square feet are being accounted for, since some of these things may be in areas of the factory that we're kind of already aware of, and these might just be sort of formalizing those projects within that space. But of course, we know the cathode building, that'll be a separate building. Obviously, Tesla kind of working on that right now, as we see from all the nice drone updates. So, in terms of how new this is versus how much of this is just a sign of continued progress towards these plans, I think is up for debate. But either way, still nice to see. And again, a significant expense here for Tesla coming in at almost $750 million. Most of that coming from, or I guess half of that coming from the Cell 1 facility. And the cathode building is then another $216 million. So between those two, probably making up about three quarters of this expense for these new construction projects. So exciting to see that, but again, probably building on stuff that we have been expecting at Giga Texas so far. All right, so moving on from that, we've got an update on the 4680 Model Ys. Of course, these have disappeared from Tesla's inventory for a few months now. They seem to sell them through inventory earlier this year, then kind of dropped off and maybe have been stockpiling packs. Part of that may have been in relation to the tax credit changes that came at the beginning of this year. So now that we're into that, it looks like Tesla has started to begin selling these again, not custom ordered, but through inventory like they did previously. So we can see here the 269-mile EPA range and the 36 or sorry, $63,000 price, at least on this configuration out of Texas, which does have the upgraded wheels and white paint. I can't remember if white paint comes standard right now, but or yeah, it does. Yeah, I was thinking black and they flipped to white, but. So I think the wheels probably just the only option added onto this version that is starting at 63,000. So this comes in a little bit under the long range version of the Model Y. So good to see Tesla starting that out again with the 4680s. Of course, we have heard Tesla talk about hitting the roughly 1,000 vehicle equivalent rate on the battery cell production for 4680s. So hopefully that is these vehicles being added back is a sign that that is going to be more consistent for Tesla, and hopefully we see these remain for quite some time and then eventually added into the custom order as well. All right, looking at the China updates, we got quite a few today. We've got updated retail, export, and wholesale sales. Those come as a package. And then we've got production numbers as well for December. And we also have the insured vehicle update for this last week as well. So we'll start off with those monthly numbers. Looking at December, wholesale sales we had previously reported, so we'll skip over that. But the breakdown between retail or domestic sales and exported vehicles for December came in at 41,926 domestic and 13,870 export. So that's probably right around the split we would have expected based on the insurance numbers. It follows that very closely. That retail sales number, though, as we've been talking about, that did push Tesla over the top for a record Q4 there for domestic sales in China, coming in about 1,000 vehicles ahead of Q3. We would have definitely liked better with the price reductions that we saw in the fourth quarter. But that being said, still nice to see Tesla achieve that record. And then on the export line, so almost 14,000 vehicles exported, we can see that that is by far a record for the last month of any quarter, as Tesla continues to make some shifts in their delivery waves and things like that. So it looks like the prior record, I think, was last quarter, about 5,500. We've seen a couple of quarters approach that before, but you can definitely see a shift here in strategy over the last couple of quarters. And I think, again, Tesla being, to an extent, a little bit opportunistic about that with some of the demands, things that we've talked about, and some of the conditions in China related to COVID. But definitely some evidence there of shifts in strategy. As for production, that came in at 58,781 vehicles. It's about 21,500 Model 3, about 37,300 Model Y. That's a little bit lower than what I would have guessed. I think my original projection before we got the quarterly numbers was about 62,000. Obviously, that was a little bit higher than where Tesla came in, 10,000 vehicles or so. Looks like about maybe 3,500 of those came out of production at China. So when we redid the numbers, I put 60,200 in there. So this is still about 1,500 lower, which I'd actually prefer because that means higher production rates in the other factories, which we want to see growing as well. We're kind of already aware of what Shanghai can output here from the October and November numbers. So a little bit less there, and the difference there between production and wholesale sales, adding about 3,000 units to inventory for Tesla that month. All right, looking at the insured vehicle numbers then, which keep in mind we had these exports here in December, we had production stop at the end of the month for a week, but the insured vehicle numbers here, this is probably the least important week that we have looked at for a long time. For the week of January 2nd to January 8th, 2,110 Tesla vehicles registered in China. But again, you have that production shutdown, you've got exports there towards the end of the month that we're aware of. So really not too much of an indication of anything other than maybe some drawdown of inventory that Tesla has. Maybe they could have hit a higher number there, but you know, stuff like that is a little bit tough to tell. So I don't think that's too important. And in contrast to what we've seen the last few weeks where BYD's numbers have been rising as Tesla's have been dropping, we definitely saw a hit to BYD's numbers as the new year flipped. There were, of course, the new energy vehicle credits that were expiring there, and that's going to hit BYD probably a little bit harder since BYD plays more in those lower price point ranges. So their registration numbers dropped, or their insured vehicle numbers dropped from about 56,000 the week prior to just about 36,000 for the first week of January. And certainly not just BYD. If we look at the automotive industry in total, passenger cars were down to 290,000 units for this week, which is down 38% from year over year. Sometimes those individual week comparisons can be tricky, but even from last week, it's down more than half from the 650,000 vehicles the prior week. So obviously a lot going on there, whether that's due to COVID, whether it's due to, you know, probably a little bit early for Chinese New Year type of stuff, but certainly a big hit, you know, incentives changing and things like that with the year end. So a big hit there in the total industry, which is in combination with the shutdowns and other things that we talked about. Another reason that this number this week is just not all that important for Tesla. Now that we've got the price cuts, next week will definitely be a lot more interesting on that. Speaking of those price cuts, we did get a report today. This is published on Sina that Tesla has, since cutting the price, received 30,000 orders within 3 days. Tough to say, there's no sources cited on this, so it's, you know, maybe not even worth talking about. But if that were the number, you know, I don't know that that would be a great number. I would hope for a little bit more from that for Tesla, because as we talked about yesterday, you'd hope to see a spike there at the beginning, since that's probably going to taper off as time goes on after that price cut. But you know, passing that along just in case that is important to anybody. We'll get more insight as we get those insured numbers over the next few weeks. And then we did also get some more commentary from Tao Lin, one of Tesla's VPs in Tesla China, and she commented on a few things here in regards to Tesla's price changes. So reiterating messages that we had heard before, but sharing a little bit more detail. Basically saying that the price adjustment is a product of a forecast of the cost for the period of time where those vehicles are going to sell in. We've heard Elon mention that on the earnings calls before, so definitely a valid consideration. She said that the biggest difference between 2023 and last year is that the epidemic has basically passed. We believe that the supply chain has returned to normal to a large extent, and there will be no such unpredictable shortages of materials as in previous years, which will bring cost uncertainty. I think that just means probably a mistranslation there, which would have brought cost uncertainty in the past. So definitely all of those things make sense. And like I said, just a reiteration of previous comments that the price changes were more due to cost control and bringing prices back in line with that, which, you know, we'll talk more about that in a second in other areas of Tesla's business. But as I said before, tough to put too much weight in these things, because while this is true, I'm sure Tesla would prefer to keep prices a little bit higher. You know, maybe that doesn't necessarily align with their mission, and over time, of course, they want to bring things down, but probably not so dramatically here like we have seen in the last week. So while these things are valid, I do think that, as I've said before, there is a huge demand component in the pricing decision here, as there should be. Tesla should be pricing based on demand as well as on cost. So that makes sense. Anyway, she also said that after this price adjustment, the prices should be relatively stable. Tesla's supply chain is already heavily localized. She was talking about how when Tesla started Giga Shanghai, that caused a big price cut because, you know, they could save on the tariffs, and using that as an example for why these price cuts are cost related. So again, another valid example, but basically not really giving herself much of an out next time around, saying that, you know, with the supply chain localized, that those major price reductions have happened. So we'll see on that going forward, but trying to give confidence there in the market that prices are not going to continue to drop in the quick ways that we have seen. There's been various reporting on pushback from Tesla customers in China that just took delivery and then come back and they're not happy that Tesla cut price. You know, that's, I think it is what it is. On the reporting there, it's tough to know how much of that is really accurate. It's really tough to tell how much of that is new demand with people coming into stores or old customers complaining. You know, I don't know that we have a great way of knowing that, and I've seen it reported both ways. So I've just kind of punted on that, and we'll let the data show us what's actually happening. Anyway, a couple of other things here. She also said that some media said that we lowered the prices because we couldn't sell anymore. I really think that's nonsense, so I guess that's good. Basically saying that this is normal and within a healthy range. Tesla's inventory is very transparent compared to other companies with dealership models. So again, all valid points on that. And then just addressing a couple of rumors that Tesla makes cell phones, Tesla Model 2, Tesla's second factory in China, and Tom Zhu, promoted to Tesla's second in command, said that the above rumors are all not true. That does not correspond with Elon's tweet, which he liked a tweet that said that Tom was second in command, or basically like the second most, you know, second highest position in Tesla or something like that. Can't remember the exact language, but it conflicts a little bit with that denial that we see there. But obviously some of those other things important to pass along. Speaking of costs and talking about how costs affect pricing in businesses, Tesla is cutting supercharging prices in Germany, according to Tesmanian. Looks like they've cut them maybe 20% or so, probably depends on the supercharger and the exact location, things like that. But it is corresponding with energy prices in Europe just in general falling, especially over the last month. If we look here at Germany, quite a big reduction since, you know, mid-December in pricing there. So it seems like Tesla is reacting to that, which is similar to the comments that we hear here from Tao Lint. So I think that makes sense. Obviously, with vehicles, it's a different story, but we should be seeing price reductions not probably too dissimilar from this in terms of logistics and cost of goods sold, or rather in materials costs for Tesla on those vehicles. But it is also worth noting, as Elon and Zach have both pointed to in the past, that sometimes those cost reductions, just like cost increases, take a while to get through to the balance sheet or the income statement. Sometimes the cost decreases can take the same. So while we shouldn't necessarily expect that to hit in the Q4 financials, maybe not even in the Q1 financials, those cost of goods sold declines should be coming sometime relatively soon. All right, moving on to a couple other updates in Europe. German Chancellor has met with many automakers as well as a few other companies at what used to be an auto summit in Germany, now is a mobility summit. Tesla has actually been for the first time included in this. Some chip producers and Northvolt also included. Tesla was apparently not previously on the first invite list, but apparently was added and participated in this. So nice to see that inclusion for Tesla, which could easily be pushed out as sort of a foreign company, even though they obviously have established Giga Berlin now. So good to see some of that inclusion. And obviously, you know, Tesla having a voice there, I think, is a major positive. So good to see that, and kind of makes sense as we get an update here from Tesla about their progress in Europe, noting that Tesla was the best-selling EV in Austria, Belgium, Switzerland, Germany, Norway, Portugal, Slovenia, and the UK in 2022, and also the best-selling car of any car in Iceland and Norway for the year. So always fun to see those updates from Tesla. And again, probably good to give a company that is in that leadership position a voice in the industry. All right, last couple of things here. GM has asked the U.S. Treasury to reconsider tax credits for the Cadillac LYRIQ. I can't remember exactly how their structure falled in terms of, or how their structure fell in terms of the $55,000, $80,000 cap, but I would imagine at least some trims hitting that $55,000 cap, like we see with the Tesla 5-seat Model Y. So GM asking for that. Hopefully, if that gets approved for GM, that would lead to some changes that would maybe include Tesla. If you're reconsidering one vehicle, it obviously would open up the door for reconsideration of others. So we haven't seen Tesla add any real communication on their website about the tax credit yet. I would imagine that they're waiting for some clarity, maybe waiting for some changes on Tesla's end. I think there's just a lot of uncertainty. So my best guess is that they're just kind of waiting to have a clearer picture of what's going on at the moment before they make those updates. At least I would hope so. Obviously, Tesla is super aware of it. Elon's commented on this multiple times on Twitter. So certainly not a lack of awareness that is causing Tesla to hold off on that process. And then finally today, just an update on the Boring Company, but also related to Tesla. They talk about how at the CES convention, which has been taking place here recently, that they have taken 94,000 total passengers on rides, average ride time less than 2 minutes, and the average ride score has been a 4.9 out of 5 stars in terms of the reviews that people have left. So really awesome to see the progress there for the Boring Company. And of course, that's 94,000 passengers that are experiencing Tesla vehicles, many of which maybe for the first time. So great to see that. And I continue to look forward to when the Boring Company starts to be able to utilize FSD. I'm not sure what the holdup is on that, but they're still not even able to use autopilot with the drivers in the cars. So seems to be a regulatory thing at the moment. But hopefully that will change soon and we'll really get to see what the Boring Company can do. All right, that is it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, January 11th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.